We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Genesis chapter 13, and we shall read again verses 12 to 13. Genesis 13 at verse 12. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. We're told here that Abram pitched his tent toward Sodom. The men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked before the Lord. So that's quite sad, isn't it? Lot deciding to go to live amongst the wicked. I've preached in the past on Remember Lot's Wife. Well, tonight I would like us to preach on Remember Lot. Later on in chapter 14 and verse 12, we read that Lot had gone to Sodom, and we're told there that when the Amraphel king of Shinar and Arioch king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer king of Elam, Tidal king of nations, when they made war with the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, that Lot was taken a captive. And that must have been very frightening. Surely, God was speaking to him. And God was there warning him. Just think of your lifestyle. Think of the people you're associating with. You're in a dangerous position. Because Sodom is exceedingly wicked, God will destroy Sodom. We're told in the New Testament, in the Epistle of Peter, that Lot was a righteous man. Reading the Old Testament, you would think that maybe he wasn't a good man. But in the New Testament, we're told that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful behavior of the people around him. So there he was, living in this very wicked place, and he, as a Christian, godly man, was seeing this wickedness and was grieving him. We're to beware of the company we keep, because that company, bit by bit, can have an impact on our lives. So when he was taken captive, there was a warning, but he continued to live in Sodom. And so, eventually, he lost everything. And we find him in the end living in a cave with his two daughters. What a warning Lot is to us. How important it is for us to love God. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. Far more than you love wealth and riches. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Well, the first thing I want you to notice here tonight is Lot's blessed beginning. He was Abraham's brother's son. And his father died relatively young. So he looked to Abraham as his kind of second father. And he seemed to associate with Abraham. He heard the call of God to Abraham. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. And to a land that I will show thee. And I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. And you remember how Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. And he left Haran behind him, and he set out for the land of Canaan. And there, God was with him, and God was blessing him. Well, Lot also left with him and lived with Abraham. They came to the land of Canaan. It must have been wonderful to be in the same household as Abraham. Abraham was a great man of God, and to have fellowship with him. Abraham was the father of the faithful, and him to be there as one of the faithful with Abraham. Living with Abraham, he would be joining in family worship with Abraham. What a blessing that is, to have the great Abraham conducting family worship and to be joining together in that. And Abraham was a prophet. God spoke to him, sometimes by dreams and visions, sometimes by words. Sometimes God would send an angel to him to speak to him. So Abraham was greatly blessed. Jesus said concerning Abraham that he saw my day and rejoiced and was glad. So Abraham could look forward and see the coming of Jesus Christ, and he rejoiced in that. So you can imagine how blessed it would be to be in that household with godly Abraham as the leader. And then Sarah, his wife, she's commended also as a very godly woman. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 3, how Sarah is set up as an example for women in New Testament times. You remember how he had a godly servant, sent him to get a wife for Isaac, and how this servant came to Haran, to the city, how he prayed for the Lord to guide. When I asked the woman that thou hast chosen for a drink of water, let her also say, drink, and I will give drink to your camels too. And so God guided and brought this woman, Rebecca, a great asset, another blessed godly woman, brought in to the house of Abraham. And even Hagar, you remember how Abraham took Hagar's maid and was trying to fulfill the promise of God that he would have children. Sarah was producing none, so he had a child with Hagar. But Hagar too was a godly young woman, an Egyptian. Remember how she ran away when Sarah was cruel to her because she had been provoking Sarah and despised her mistress because she was able to have a child and her mistress wasn't. But then God came to the woman, and Hagar called God, thou God seest me. Much later on, you remember how she left with her child, Isaac. And they got lost in the desert. Their water had run out. And she was desperate. But thou God seest me. The Lord came to her, provided for her. So she was a godly woman. And it was a godly household, and it was a great privilege then for Lot to be growing up in, and then after he'd grown up, living with Abraham in this household, and blessed on every side. It didn't help the prodigal son, you remember, when he left his father's house and went to the far country. In the far country it was much easier to go astray. So to begin with then, Lot was a godly young man. And he started off well, and he was living in Abraham's house, and he was blessed with the blessings of Abraham. But secondly, we see the temptation. Lot was obviously a gifted man and a hard-working man. And he began to make money, and he was prospering. And he had flocks and herds, and these flocks and herds were increasing. So that in the end, because Abraham was very wealthy too, the flocks and the herds were mingling together, and the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot were quarrelling over the flocks and the herds that were coming together. So what was to happen? Well, Abraham says to Lot, you make the choice. You go your way. The land is before us. There's plenty of room for both of us. You want to be rich? You go, choose whatever. If you choose the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you choose the left hand, I'll go to the right. Now, Lot should have resisted that. He shouldn't have been willing to give up the great privilege that he had of being in Abraham's household. What difference at the end of the day does it make whether you have a 1,000 sheep or 100,000 sheep? One day you're going to have to leave it all behind. You die, and that's it. Somebody else looks after it. If you have sufficient, godliness with contentment is great gain. But the love of money is the root of all evil, and so often is the case, isn't it, that the love of money leads people astray. He could have sold off some of his herds and some of his sheep, reduced the herds, and then he would be able to continue to live in Abraham's house. But instead, he chose the path of riches at the expense of his own soul. What a grip it has upon us, making more money, working harder, longer hours, sometimes even people working on Sunday to make more money. Some people will take a job far away from church, or where there is no church, because the priority is a job and money and prosperity. Well, what about us? Are we like that, or are we giving the best of our time and our efforts and our energy to the Lord, valuing Him, valuing Christian fellowship, valuing the church and the things of God more than anything else? So there was that temptation for Lot, the temptation to seek wealth. The next thing we notice is the worldly choice that he made. Abraham offered him, whichever way you want to go, to the right, to the left, wherever you want, you go, and I'll go the other direction. And when he looked, he saw the plain of Jordan. At that time there was no Dead Sea. It would seem that the Jordan was going down to the Red Sea. And the plain of Jordan was very lush and prosperous. It was well watered, and indeed it's compared to the Garden of Eden. He thinks to himself, if I go towards Sodom, then I'll be very wealthy. So he makes his choice. But it's very significant that we're told here that where he went, the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. So he chose to associate, to leave the family of the godly Abraham and associate with the exceedingly wicked people in order to be wealthy. Sinners exceedingly before the Lord. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The temple of God with idols. We're not to associate with the wicked. We live in a wicked world. We're to witness to that world. But we're to take care of our own soul. To seek first the kingdom. To be far more concerned. To look after our souls than we are to make money and be wealthy. But Lot goes with the wicked, forms a close association there. First he pitches his tent towards Sodom. And then we notice that he's actually moved into Sodom. And he's got a house in Sodom. He doesn't see the problem. But Satan has set a trap for him. Satan's always looking out for how to destroy us. He hates us. He hates God. And he sets different traps. One trap will particularly catch a certain type of person. Another trap will catch someone else. Well, the trap that he had set for Lot was that he would be prosperous and he should just ignore the fact that the people he would be living amongst were exceedingly wicked. Satan is thinking, how can I weaken this godly man? How can I cause him to backslide? How can I destroy him? Starts little by little. Pitch the tent towards Sodom. See the danger. See the wickedness of Sodom. And leave when you can. But Lot wasn't like that. He chose the easy life, the luxuries of Sodom. A luxurious lifestyle is not good for the soul. It often leads to compromise. But it can be very magnetic, very attractive. You and I are to watch and pray, lest we enter into temptation. Beware of the traps of Satan. And then we find him no longer in a tent, but in a house. It's interesting when we go to Hebrews chapter 11, that we're told there about the great men of faith and the patriarchs, how they lived in tents. And they showed by the fact that they lived in tents that they sought a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. They were looking for a city, and they weren't happy with any of the cities of this world. That's why they were looking for the New Jerusalem, the city of heaven. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, very wealthy, but living in tents. Going from place to place because they saw their ultimate home, not in this world, but in heaven. But Lot turned aside from that and he got a house in Sodom. He wasn't content with a pilgrim lifestyle. And he got very friendly with the ungodly people of Sodom. How we have to be careful going out for meals, entertainment, going to pubs or whatever with ungodly men. How easily we can develop a wicked lifestyle, drinking to excess. It's easy to make excuses and say, well, there's no sin in drink. In a sense, there is no sin in drink, but we have to be very careful because there's so many who start with one glass and end up a slave to drink. So it's wrong for people then to make that worldly choice, to compromise. And then finally we see God's judgment. First of all, there's a warning. The kings of Mesopotamia and Elam and so on attack and carry away Lot a captive. God was saying, beware. Now Abraham gathered together a little army, went after the kings of Mesopotamia and was able to deliver Lot. But it was a huge warning, a shake-up. Sometimes we get a warning and we don't take it to heart. That's the danger. So he goes back and he continues to live in Sodom. He didn't leave it. He stayed there and made his home there. And then we read about his daughters marrying men, wicked men of Sodom. We're told about angels coming to warn Lot, and then the men of Sodom gathering around the house and demanding that Lot take out these people to them so that they can abuse them. He thought the men of Sodom were his friends, but they were prepared to abuse him as well. And if it was not for the miracle that the angels did in causing blindness on the men of Sodom, Lot would have suffered at their hands. He went to tell his sons-in-law, who were married to his daughters, that God was going to destroy Sodom, to flee. You remember, his sons-in-law, to them he seemed as one that mocked. It was just a big joke. They didn't listen to him. They didn't respect him. And in the end, the next morning, the angels had to half-drag Lot and his wife and his two unmarried daughters out of Sodom. The angels warned them, don't look back. But Lot's wife, of course, her heart was in Sodom. She loved the luxuries. She loved the lifestyle. She loved the pleasures of Sodom. And she looked back and became a pillar of salt. Lot himself fled to Zoar. Then he got such a fright when he saw the fire and brimstone coming down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, took his two daughters with him and fled to a cave. And there he lives in a cave with his daughters. Where's his wealth now? How easily we make wealth, how easily we can lose it. We're not to set our hearts upon earthly things, but we're to set our heart upon heavenly things. Thankfully, Lot was a saved soul. He was a righteous man. He had heard the gospel from Abraham, and he believed it. But he suffered greatly because he followed his sinful desires. We can be great Christians and yet fall away. But where God begins the good work, he will bring it on until the day of Christ Jesus. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we lift up our hearts to thee to worship thee. We pray that we would learn from Lot and that we would be careful that we do not fall into the same pattern of living. Grant to us, Lord, that we would seek first the things that belong to God. Set our affections on those things that are above. That we would value what is eternal. And that we would be kept from making an idol out of the things of this life. Bless us then, O Lord, bless us each one. Help us to learn from thy word, to take it to heart. For Jesus' sake, amen.